This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea in today for Anthony Brooks.
Today in Libya, members of the African Union met in the rebel-held city of Benghazi. Their aim, to try to secure a ceasefire between forces of Muammar Gaddafi, the Libyan leader, and rebels who are demanding he relinquish power. Reports today say that those rebels rejected the roadmap set forward by the Union delegates and that they had been accepted by Gaddafi.
Getting reliable information out of any combat zone is difficult, but it's been especially the case in Libya. It's also proven to be a particularly dangerous region for journalists, a fact learned all too well last Tuesday when four reporters were captured in one of the key battle sites of Brega.
One of them was James Foley, a correspondent for the Boston-based Global Post. For days, nothing was known about the journalist's whereabouts. But last night, a report came that Foley, a native of New Hampshire, and two of the other journalists he was with were being held in the capital city of Tripoli. Here's Global Post president and CEO Phil Balboni.
The news from late last night was very encouraging from a just-released journalist from another country. We had the first definitive word that they had reached James and two other of the four had reached Tripoli. We're in the hands of the appropriate Libyan authorities, and we're in good condition. So that was wonderful news.
So this information that you got from the released journalist in Libya, was that person actually with James Foley?
Yes, he was. He was actually transported with three of the four back from the fighting in eastern Libya. So he had direct observation of James and Claire Gillis and Manu Bravo, the Spanish journalist. Unfortunately, we still, despite tremendous efforts, do not have a release date for them. We're hoping that will be soon. It seems likely that it will be soon, but we don't know.
So no release date yet. But remind us, are James and his colleagues, they're being held in a Tripoli prison, is that correct?
They're being held in some form of detention center. I don't know if it would be right to call it a prison. We don't really know. We know that they're in the capital somewhere.
Do you know of the particular circumstances that surrounded their detention?
We do know a bit about that, but unfortunately I'm not at liberty to disclose that information. But we did learn some details of their transit back from where they were captured near Brega, back west to the capital. But we do know that they, from direct observation by this particular person, that their condition was good. Now, there is still no word on the fourth journalist from South Africa, who was believed to have been captured at the same time as James Foley and the others.
This is Anton Hamerl.
That's right. And the source last night has not seen the South African journalist.
I see.
We don't know if he is also in Tripoli or if he might be elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very worrisome, but we're trying to learn more.
Well, South African President Jacob Zuma is currently in Tripoli. He arrived there yesterday doing a lot of shuttle diplomacy with Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. I know that it was asked that that Jacob Zuma mention the plight of these reporters, these journalists, to Gaddafi. You didn't know if he had done that yesterday. Do you have any update on that, whether Gaddafi himself has been asked to release these reporters?
We believe that he did. I mean, we asked through some intermediaries, and they seemed confident that that had happened, but you know, no one was in those meetings, so we're really not sure, and no one asked the president, President Zuma, when he came out. I mean, they were talking about this ceasefire arrangement. And it is possible that the South African journalist could have been released to President Zuma, but we don't know that either.
Mm-hmm. Philip Balboni, if I could just take a step back here. This is obviously not the first group of journalists who have been detained in Libya.
No.
We just saw the recent release of the New York Times' Anthony Shadid and a number of other journalists. What do you think the sort of waves of detentions we're seeing for foreign journalists in Libya, even though they were invited to cover what's happening there by Muammar Gaddafi. What is it telling you about the situation on the ground?
Well, actually, that's not quite right. I mean, the journalists who have been captured, both the New York Times 4 and Hour 4, entered Libya from the east and were with the rebel fighters. So they were technically in the country illegally. They had not been invited in by Colonel Gaddafi. They did not have a visa to be in Libya. So when, in the tumult of the fighting, which has raged back and forth, as you know, with the front lines changing hands, sometimes in a matter of minutes, many of the journalists have been right on the front lines, which is unusual for, you know, combat situation for journalists to be able to get that close, but that's what's been happening in eastern Libya. And that put them right up against the government forces. And when they are captured, they're not generally welcomed, and they're not treated particularly well. You read the gripping account of the New York Times 4. They
Yes.
were very, very badly treated, at least until they got, you know, farther west and into the capital. And then they were fine. They were in official hands, and their mistreatment ended. But at the front lines, with men who are, you know, facing death, they got difficult treatment.
Phil, if I could just ask you about that. I mean, in part, it is a journalist and foreign correspondent's duty to try and get as close to where the news is happening, where events are taking shape, essentially the front lines. It's what we send them out to do. But on the other hand, I wonder, in this day and age where, you know, as you know better than anyone, the news cycle is in seconds. There's so many ways to get news out, tweets, Facebook, online, etc. Are we at a point at which the need to be as close to the news as possible and the need to feed the beast in terms of what we want as consumers of news, it's really putting reporters in more danger than they have been in conflicts past?
Well, it's certainly true in Libya, but I do think it's a little unusual. I mean, you have what is in effect a civil war. You have on the rebel side a significant desire for the press to be present to tell their story and to generate support, and of course that was very successful. So the journalists are closer to the action than is almost ever the case. Certainly, I mean, if you look at Iraq and Afghanistan, I mean, it's very controlled. When you go out, you're, you know, with military minders and you're on official embeds, but it's wide open in Libya, and I think that is what is happening. So they are in more danger, and all of us urge them to be extremely careful. But unfortunately, despite all you might say, when things are moving that fast, sometimes, you know, these things can happen.
Philip Balboni, President and CEO of Global Post, thank you so much for speaking with us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
And we have to take a quick break. When we come back, marine biologist Carl Safina on the surprising rebound of New England's cod stocks and other hopeful stories he's found making his new PBS series, Saving the Ocean. Stay with us. I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.